Hello, and welcome to part 4 of July's OnCoalesce monograph. If you're walking or driving, I hope you're having a pleasant day, and thank you very much for listening to these podcasts. This week, we're taking a deeper dive into the latest data from ImpraMed. This data may help you to justify to your clients why running the personal prediction assay could help choose the best protocols for their pet if they wish to treat again following their first relapse. The title of this edition is The Increased Survival and Remission Rates in Canine Relapsed B-Cell Lymphoma Patients with Treatments That Matched ImpraMed's Artificial Intelligence Predictions. As you know, while 80% of B-cell lymphomas can be driven into complete remission using a CHOP protocol in canine patients, the success rate for reinduction of CR after relapse is much lower. This indicates that tumour evolution processes change the drug sensitivity profile of the primary cancer in ways that make choosing a reinduction therapy more challenging. ImpraMed's Personalised Prediction Profile, or PPP, gives a real-time update on a patient's tumour drug sensitivity profile that may be taken into consideration by oncologists when choosing a reinduction therapy. The PPP includes clinical outcome predictions for 12 drugs commonly used to treat canine lymphoma. Predictions are generated by AI models trained to predict real-world clinical outcome data from comprehensive tumor profile data and patient information. To determine if utilization of ImpraMed's AI predictions leads to improved clinical outcomes, a prospective clinical trial was conducted using a matching score analysis that has been employed in a number of human precision oncology trials, and these are referenced on the monograph. And the results: all canine patients from ImpraMed's user database were selected who, one, were diagnosed with B-cell lymphoma, and two, had relapsed from prior therapy before their oncologist ordered ImpraMed's PPP to help guide future treatments. Medical records were requested for each patient and received replies for 60 patients who met these criteria and who had also been treated with one or more anti-cancer drug. A matching score was calculated to quantify the degree to which each patient's treatment matched recommendations from the Precision Oncology platform as described previously. For this calculation, recommended drugs were defined as those drugs with AI prediction scores above 0.5. PPP scores range between 0 and 1, with higher values indicating a higher likelihood of partial or complete remission. Matching scores for a patient were calculated by dividing the number of administered drugs that match the PPP recommendations by the total number of drug administrations for that patient. The 60 relapsed B-cell lymphoma patients were separated into two groups of equal size based on their matching scores, a high matching group and a low matching group, and there were 30 in each. For the high matching group, both complete remission rate and overall response rate was substantially higher than for the low matching group. And looking at the data for complete remission, it was 53% for the high group versus only 4% for the low group, with a p-value of 0.001. And looking at overall response rate, 69% in the high group versus 42% in the low group, with a p-value of 0.06. In addition, patients in the high matching group experienced significantly longer overall survival, that's with a p-value of 0.001 for a log rank test. And after controlling for several potentially confounding variables, which were grade, stage, substage, age, and date of biopsy, using multivariate Cox proportional hazards modeling, the matching score was found to be the second most impactful predictor of patient survival after substage, with a hazard ratio of 0.26. That's a 95% confidence interval of 0.12 to 0.56. Thus, relapsed B-cell lymphoma patients who received treatments that matched those predicted to be effective by ImpraMed AI models experienced substantially better health outcomes by three different outcome metrics and after correction for confounding variables in a prospective study of patient outcomes. So that's the presentation, and now we move on to the comments from the panel of oncologists, starting off with their thoughts on the presentation, and these are direct quotes from the panel. It's exciting to see dogs with a high drug matching rate having higher overall response rate and complete remission than dogs with a low one. Yes. This information may encourage me to start using the assay more than I have been. I will definitely take this into consideration. It's very exciting to see that AI can help improve outcome. A nice match with the T-cell paper from last time. I also appreciate that this is all in the relapse setting, as this is the primary area where I use the assay. This is exciting to see and useful when speaking with clients. I think this helps provide evidence to show clients the utility of this type of diagnostic. Finally, I was very interested to see that we could more accurately pick drugs for a second remission with the assay. It has been more guesswork picking a second treatment based on clinical experience and patient information in order to achieve a decent second remission. And so moving on to the questions, which is concerns and clarifications. This is a little bit confusing, just bear with me. Does the low matching and high matching mean the test found drugs that were low or high match, or that the high is what the test found would be effective and pets were treated with those drugs, and low is what the clinician used but the test did not find the drugs to match well? And the answer is the latter. The matching refers to the match between recommended drugs and administered drugs, not the match between the drugs and the particular patient or tumour. So recommended drugs are defined as those with a prediction score above 0.5 for this study. I hope that's clear now. And were all of these patients first relapse? Did all of the patients get treated with standard CHOP as first line therapy? And the answer, with this cohort, our records don't go all the way back to the beginning of treatment for every patient. So we can't completely answer this question yet. Within the next few months, we do expect to have our records uniformly backfilled to the start of treatment and have the ability to answer these questions. In previous analyses, most of our B-cell patients did receive CHOP as the first line therapy. So we do expect that this was also the case for this set of relapsed patients. We know that response to treatment is a predictor of outcome for lymphoma in general. Is there any correlation between which protocols were recommended and the patients who had low agreement? Were the recommended drugs difficult to obtain or administer? And were they associated with an increased risk of side effects? So, this analysis is for our single drug predictions, so there was no protocol recommendation on which to base an answer for your first question. All of the drugs in the study are known to have side effects. Doxorubicin can lead to adverse events. That was recommended less frequently in the low matching group. Lomustine, which is also associated with some adverse events, was recommended with a similar frequency in the low matching and the high matching groups. None of the drugs in this study are considered difficult for an oncologist to administer. And the study spanned the pandemic, during which drug shortages were intermittent. We don't have enough data to determine how drug shortages may have impacted clinical behaviour, but we expect that that would equally affect the low matching and the high matching groups, given that both groups were evenly distributed over time. So, should we be making a combination of the top drugs for relapsed patients? Does it matter if it's a combination of two or three of the top drugs? And the reply, for this cohort, we analysed the clinical outcomes of the patients who received drugs with prediction scores above 0.5 rather than the ones that received the top two or three drugs at a higher frequency. Based on the limited prospective data, the way to achieve the best outcomes seems to be to avoid drugs with prediction scores below 0.5 when possible, and to choose from the drugs with prediction scores above 0.5 that you believe would be most effective for your patient. And this is a good question. While no one likes to think about things in terms of dollars and cents, have you ever considered looking into the return of investment for the test? Could there be some level of cost saving for these dogs because finances weren't wasted on less effective drugs? Nimpramed said, we haven't done this type of economic analysis yet, but we appreciate that cost is a major factor for our pet parents. So this is a great idea for a future study. For instance, we could estimate months of survival per dollar spent for the low matching and the high matching groups. The only concern that I would have is that it can take up to 7 to 10 days to get the analysis back. Does it make a difference if you choose another therapy first to get you to the point where the analysis is available and you can go off the recommendations? I would expect that it is not the case, but I'm not sure what the company recommends until that time. And Impromed's answer. Separately, we analysed the treatments given during the time before the AI report arrived. Only one treatment in the entire cohort of 60 patients led to a positive clinical response observable at the subsequent visit to the oncologist. This was a partial remission introduced by combination of midazolam and prednisolone. If we look at patient survival rather than overall response rate, the patients who received vincristine, with or without pred, before arrival of the AI report did seem to live the longest. However, this survival duration is likely due to the treatments given after the AI report was received rather than to the initial dose of vincristine. In a univariate Cox regression model, usage of vincristine before receipt of the AI report is associated with a mortality hazard ratio of 0.66 relative to baseline risk of 1. That's a 95% confidence interval of 0.29 to 1.5. Here, mortality hazard refers to the interval between biopsy and death. Any experience of what was discussed? I have used the Impromed several times. I've noticed the predicted remission rate and response rate have been very similar to what I'm seeing clinically in an individual dog. And then, since we have limited drugs for relapse, we end up using them all eventually, but this may help us use the best ones first. I have used Impromed in the past, but did get away from it when the predictions were not validated in the patient. And hopefully this will change things a little bit. I've used it in several patients with either unusual presentations or in the relapse setting. I feel like the predictions do match the initial response, but response duration seems highly variable. I've also had a couple of results where the predicted responses were very low for all drugs, which clients were a little bit disappointed by. And then footnote, those definitely match the predicted response rates when we tried something anyway. And Impromed's response, thanks for sharing your experience with the Impromed service. As you noted, our current AI models predict initial responses to drugs, but not response durations. We are working on time series analyses to improve our AI models to predict duration of a drug response. We do recognize there were a few cases where all the prediction scores showed below 0.5. As we understand this kind of result may be disappointing to a client, we do offer running our assays again to confirm the result at no additional cost. And more experience. I've used this in the naive and relapse setting for guidance with therapy and prediction through CHOP. I have not yet had any clients with the resources and desire for this testing, but this additional data may help push more clients to consider it. And finally, I've used it on a few clients for relapse lymphoma, but have not had any success, probably due to the fact that I've used it in late stages where most drugs are not going to be effective. And ImpromEd do point out, yes, please try our services at an earlier time point of treating relapsed or naive lymphoma patients. And then the last section is thoughts for the future. And the first question, can you look at T-cell lymphoma and drug prediction similar to this study? And ImpromEd said, we previously shared results from a prospective study of canine T-cell lymphoma patients. The results and conclusions were quite similar to the ones from this relapsed B-cell lymphoma study. We plan to publish both the T-cell and relapsed B-cell studies this year. And that information was actually included in the last OncoLS monograph, number 6. And the next thought, I'm looking forward to the mast cell tumour work that is coming up. And then there has been a resurgence of scientific abstracts presenting canonized CD20 monoclonal antibodies for diffuse large B-cell lymphoma. Any thoughts as to how this may fit into ImpromEd's AI algorithm modelling? If CD20 monoclonals start to see regular clinical use, we would definitely be interested in developing AI models to discriminate between the monoclonal responders and non-responders. Because antibody therapy can be costly, ImpromEd's drug response predictions could become an integral part in the decision-making process for pet parents. We're also open to collaborators who are interested in developing AI-based companion diagnostics for CD20 monoclonals or other promising drugs. I appreciate that we now have evidence supporting ImpromEd's use in both T-cell and B-cell lymphoma. I'd really like to see if there's a difference in benefit for relapse versus naive lymphoma. And I'm excited about the mast cell tumour information as well. And that is a good suggestion. We can study the benefits of our service in relapsed versus naive lymphoma treatment. As you already know, we have been collecting clinical samples and treatment outcome data for canine mast cell tumour to develop an AI-based prediction service similar to canine lymphoma. And if you're interested, please do participate. Has there been any consideration of evaluating the benefit of AI for transitional cell carcinoma? Similar to lymphoma, it's a disease where we are frequently cycling through quite a few drugs, hoping for a sustained response. And in ImpromEd's reply, we haven't discussed TCC much internally, but we're excited for new suggestions like these, and we will be investigating the potential for ImpromEd's support at a later date. And there we go. That is the end of part 4 and the presentation on ImpromEd's data. I hope you found it interesting and useful. And next edition, I believe we will be hearing an update from Vidium over the next couple of weeks. In the meantime, thank you very much again for listening to the podcasts, and you take care. Bye now.